Man, what a wonderful testimony. Faith is a wonderful thing. Amen. God honors faith. We see it time and time again. Amen. And how that, we try to figure it out and the next move and the whole time God's already got it figured out if we just put our faith in Him. She was speaking of Moses' mother. Not only was it very difficult for her to hide him, but also very difficult for her to release him. She had to put him in that basket and actually to let go of him and release him and put him into God's hands in order for God to save his life. So God has a plan for us. Sometimes we don't always understand that plan, but if we'll just put our faith and trust in God, He will make a way because He is the way. Well, how many happy folks we got in the house tonight? Amen. I'm glad you're happy tonight. Praise God. If you got your Bibles with you, go with us to the book of St. Luke tonight. We want to talk about a parable that Jesus spoke at a very opportune time of all places, the Last Supper, right after the so-called Last Supper when his disciples were gathered around him. The occasion arose that they began to talk naturally about food and about his heavenly kingdom and how it would be remarkable to sit with him and be blessed as he be fed at that marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus heard that, and then he spoke this parable. So I want to read verses 16 through 24 in the 14th chapter. St. Luke, chapter number 14, beginning with verse number 16. Then said he unto him, A certain man bade a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. They all with one accord, or one consent rather, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs and go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful, God, for those who have gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you would feed us from heaven. Pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay tonight. God, just to speak to our hearts, that you would have us to hear, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, that we may learn of your word, God, and understand what you would have us to do in this day and hour that we're living in. And Father, we do remember those who are sick. There are many, as already been said today. Father, we pray, God, on their behalf that you would touch them, heal them, and anoint them. Bless those, God, who have lost their loved one. I pray, God, that you would be a comfort to them in their time of grief and sorrow. And Father, I pray now that the Holy Spirit, God, would just enter into this building, God, and just fill us tonight with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. A very appropriate title, I guess, if I was going to title one on Wednesday night, is There Is Still Room for More. Amen. There's still room for more. As I've already mentioned, the setting of this particular story is kind of unique in that it's the Last Supper. How many remembers what the Last Supper was? Jesus was having supper with his disciples, and you know, this is when the betrayer was revealed. And evidently there was quite a conversation that's going on. Because in the 12th verse, the Bible says here in St. Luke, Luke's account of this, he said, Then said he also to him that bade him, Will thou makest a dinner or a supper? Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made. In other words, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's what Jesus said, don't do it on that account. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Speaking that whatever we do, do not expect anything in return. And then Luke says, One of them which sat at the table said, When one of them sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So this opened up a conversation for Jesus to relate to a parable. Now, a parable is nothing more than a sermon in story form. And, you know, Jesus used quite a bit of these. He would bring old scripture and he would bring them to light, but most of the times he would take the surrounding and the company in which he sat, and it would make it something that they could understand, and he would speak to them like the lost sheep, the lost coin, the parable of the foolish virgins and the wise virgins, and all of these things that people could relate to. And this particular one, he spoke to his disciples. Now, his disciples had been with him. Now, they knew Jesus, and they knew how Jesus was, and they knew his mindset, and they knew that he had been preparing them for his departure. They was not ready to accept it. They was not ready to believe it. But time and time again, Jesus would allude to the fact that he would not be with them always, that he would be going away. But the going away would be for their benefit and for the benefit of others. So he saw this as an occasion to bring a parable. Now, I've often wondered about the parables. Are these parables that something that actually took place that Jesus was aware of? Or was it more in a story form that Jesus, to get a point across? And I kind of lean toward the beginning because there's a lot of span of time from Jesus being 12 years old until he started his ministry at 30. So I would imagine, being a carpenter's son, I would imagine that he had probably heard a lot of stories, and him being the Son of God, he was very attentive. Now, when Jesus heard stories, Jesus never forgot them, okay? Now, I can't say that. You know, every once in a while I'll try to remember something or reminisce about something, and I'll forget the names or I forget the exact time or location, but not Jesus. I believe that the parables that he taught were actual events that had taken place in certain times, and he used those, maybe not verbatim, but something like that, in order to get a point across. Now, the parable was not for just storytelling. It wasn't just for entertainment, but it was to get a point across. Most of the time, it had a beginning, an ending, and a subject matter that was good for the time or good for the season that he was speaking of. And then he talks about this man. And basically, if you remember or read about the Old Testament time, and even in Jesus' time, the marriage was a great event. It was a spectacular event. Not saying that it is not today, but in that time, you got to understand that there probably wasn't a lot of banquets, there wasn't a lot of get-togethers and things like that, because people were so scattered out, and it was very difficult for them to get together. But when a marriage was announced, it was a big thing, and people's feelings would actually be hurt if you didn't show up, especially the host. If the host was giving a dinner, and he would always, you know, bring the best of his food, the best of his wine. Everything had to be in order, because it wasn't just thrown together overnight. It was a great event, because it was an honor to be able to come to the marriage supper, being able to come, and even to be invited to be able to come. And this is the reason that Jesus talked so many times, if you wasn't invited, how dare you come without your wedding garment? So all of this he was talking about. But this particular parable, his point was that people began to make excuse. They wanted to be a part of it, but they could not make it. And because of the excuses, and these were just three of the excuses. And I thought about, you know, God's book of excuses. Knowing that God doesn't forget and he remembers everything, I would imagine if his book was in actual form, the excuses that he would have in his book would be probably too numerous for us to ever even read. I'm even thinking about the excuses in my life, the many times that I offered up excuses to God about certain things and this, that, and the other. And then I think about, I'm just one person. Imagine all the people have given excuses. And before I gave my life to Christ, I gave a lot of excuses. And I thought they were legitimate excuses too. I was too young. I wasn't ready. I still wanted to have fun in my life, this, that, and the other, all that kind of stuff. And then I began to think about this. So Jesus was not just telling this story about a marriage event just to tell the folks about, you know, you ought to keep your invite or take advantage of your invitation and go. But he was talking about the kingdom of God. He was talking about the body of Christ. He was talking about the body of believers and how that it affects even us today. And we look around in the church world today, we look around and we see that a lot of people, they desire to be a Christian, they desire to walk with the Lord, but excuses are made on a continual basis. And this is what Jesus was alluding to. And he talked about the one, and one, you know, they, he said they began to make excuses. Well, it made the host mad. He got really, really angry. He says, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you just go out and you get all the halt, the maimed, the poor, the lame, and all of the blind, and bring them in. And you got to understand that these are the people that normally was left off of the invitation list. Okay? They were the people that if everybody else would have showed up, these people probably would have not had an opportunity to come to the marriage supper. Think about that. And also, there's an underlining story here too. And he's talking to most of the disciples, which are of a Jewish background. And who did Jesus come to first? His own people. He came to his Jews. And how many excuses and this, that, and the other? They wouldn't accept him as Christ. They wouldn't accept him as the Son of God. They called him a Beelzebub. They called him all kind of things. So Jesus turned to the Gentiles. You remember the Gentiles and the Jewish people? They didn't get along at all. The Jewish people actually looked down on the Gentiles in one place. They looked down on them as inferior, almost as dogs in one explanation. So it's very, very parallel and a type and a shadow of the story and the parable that Jesus is talking about here when he says, you know, the invitation list went out. And I would imagine probably the governor and the sheriff and this, that, and the other and all the people of so-called society at that particular time was on the invitation list. But when they received their invitation, many of them couldn't make it. They couldn't fit it into their schedule. They had something that they seemed more important. How many times in your witnessing, how many times have you testified to folks and you ask them, you know, are you born again? Have you given your life to Christ? And they'll begin to kind of stutter around a little bit and they'll begin to offer one excuse after another why they haven't done this or that and the other. And you know, I'm too busy. My job won't allow me. You know, I'm tied up on the weekends and this, that. You know, so many kind of things that's like that. And all of it is parallel to what Christ was talking about here. So, but the big difference here, the big, big difference, is the host became angry. Now, we haven't seen the anger of God. We're still the recipients of grace and mercy. I don't want to see the wrath of God. And you know, when I began to relate to the convicting power of God and how that he made me uncomfortable. There's something different to being uncomfortable with the convicting power of God than being on the receiving end of the wrath of God. And I realized I did not want any part of the wrath of God. I did not want God to turn his back on me on judgment day and say, depart from me, I never knew you. So those things had a bearing on my life. And to the story and the message of the cross of Calvary and how that Jesus, when the preacher made it an individual thing to me and said he died for you, and it made an impact on my life. So here again, the difference is the host here became angry, but Jesus is still full of grace and mercy and still reaching out, and always there's room for more. Doesn't matter. There's one lost sheep. That's the reason he was talking about the importance. Oh, the 99 were safe within. What did the good shepherd do? He left the 99 and he went out and sought until he found that one lost sheep, and he brought that sheep back into the fold. So Jesus is talking about there's room for more. And here's the thing about it. If those who have been bidden, those who have had the invitation, those who we called, those who we spoke to, those who we encouraged will not come, excuse after excuse after excuse, maybe we need to go find somebody that's hungry. Maybe we need to find somebody that's lost. Maybe we need to find somebody that's spiritually blind, spiritually halt, spiritually lame. Let me tell you something, folks. There's a world full of those kind of people. Amen. And there's room for each and every one of them to come. So the servant of the host of the dinner went out and he said, we've done like you said. We went out in the streets. And we called. We found the lame, the poor, the blind, and we brought them all in. And the servant said, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room. And the master of the house, so the Lord said unto them, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So now he takes it outside of the city. So far it's just been his closest friends and family, and so many of them turned down their invitation. So he says, go out into the streets. Go out into the nearby, the people that are here. I know that there's some blind folks down here. I know that there's some halt, some maimed, and some poor folks over here. Go and invite them in. And after they've done that, there's still room. There's still food. There's still preparation. So he says, go out into the highways and hedges. In other words, go out into an area that you haven't been before. And that began to weigh on my heart, because so many times we continue to ask. We continue to encourage the same group of people over and over and over. But Jesus says, go out beyond that, because there's still room. Go out into the highways and the hedges, meaning go out to the farmlands. Go out to the orchards. Go out several miles out from the city. And not only ask them, but he uses the word compel them. Now, husbands, let me ask you this. If your wife asks you to do something rather than compels you to do something, which do you think is the stronger? You women, do you ever compel your husbands to do anything, or you just ask them and they do it like that? Man, y'all are quiet tonight. There's a very distinct difference in asking them or inviting them than compelling them. No, you need to come. No, you need to get right. No, you need to give your life to Jesus. Time is running out. You don't always have this opportunity. That is compelling them. And even at that, there's still room today. Because he says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them that they come in, that my house may be filled. Then he says a very strong message. This is the message I'd only hear from the Lord. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Excuse me tonight. Got a little congestion here. At that statement right there. Now what do you think about when you hear that statement? Again, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Do you think that if they came knocking at the door, he would turn them away? That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like. And maybe in the parable, there's that possibility. But I think it's much different than that. I think the statement is that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper, because they don't have the desire to come. Because they've made excuse after excuse after excuse, and there's never going to change their mind, and there's never going to come to that. Now, that's just my kind of reading into that. You know, we know it's not. He's not talking about the Jewish people, because he's going to turn again to the Jewish people. We know that from prophecy. We know that from the end time, that there are going to be Jewish people that are going to convert at the end time and turn their life over to Jesus Christ and be saved. Some Jewish people already have. So I don't think he's entirely talking about the Jewish nation, although it seems like at part of that he is referring to the Jewish nation. But I think he's talking about the hardened hearts. You think about it. The hardened hearts, those are the people, and probably, you know, God forbid that we even would mention any, but I almost would think that probably every one of us here tonight, if we thought about in our witnessing, in our testifying, in our compelling, in our invitations to folks to come, not just to church, but to come give your life to Christ, we probably all run into some that just won't have it. That's just, no, I don't want any part of it. You know, and it's actually more blatant today than it used to be. Back when I was growing up, and my granddaddy, and we would go with my granddaddy a lot of times on visitation, and you know, most of the time people were very, very polite, they were cordial, and they would just give you an excuse. A pretty good sounding excuse. But sometimes you run into today, no, I just, you know, don't want to. And that, I believe that's what Christ was referring to. He said, those people shall not taste of my supper. Not because they hadn't been invited. Not because I would have welcomed them in. Not because everything was ready for them and all they had to do was come and show up and be a part of it and accept it. But because their heart is hardened, because other things have come into their spirit, other things have come into their mind, they pushed everything else out. They don't have time for Christ. They don't have time to be in church. They don't have time to serve God. They don't have room in their heart or room in their life to accept Jesus Christ. They want him as Savior, but not really as Lord. And I believe those are the things that Jesus Christ is referring to. So let's apply that to the world today. We understand. We do calling. We have knocked on doors. We have canvassed this neighborhood time and time again on different occasions. Some of you here tonight have even been a part of that. We advertise on Facebook and on the flyers, the things and like that. And you know, some of that gets into the same hands over and over and over. And that doesn't mean they have to come to this church, okay? That's because if you witness to 10 folks and you get one of them born again, then it's worth every effort. If you do 20 or 50 folks canvassing that many, and one person is saved, then it's worth it all. But it's getting in the same hands a lot of times. So maybe we need to stretch out a little bit. Maybe we need to venture out a little bit and compel those. Go out into the highways, into the hedges. Now, where would be the highways and hedges today? Someplace out of the ordinary, I guess. Someplace out of the neighborhood. Maybe someplace other than where we work. Maybe a restaurant that we visit. Maybe a shopping center. Maybe a park. You know, I don't know. Just kind of throwing things out. You know, because, again, you know, you ask and you ask and you invite and you invite and you invite and you try to get folks, and you know, maybe we're missing a whole group of people spiritually blind, spiritually poor, spiritually maimed, spiritually halt. And then if we've canvassed and covered that area, then we go out into the highways and hedges and compel those who don't ever get invited. That's what I'm thinking when he said go out into the highways and the hedges, because you got to understand that time, that era, that it wasn't just a blanket invitation. There was people out on farms and people outside of the city that probably never got invited to one of the big to-dos or the big weddings and all. But here, Christ gave the example that even at that, there's still room. There's still room. And the thing about it, time is running out. Time is getting very, very short. There's some things going on right now in the current events that if I was unsaved, I would absolutely be beside myself. You know, I'm concerned, but I'm not afraid, okay? There's a big difference than being concerned about the current events but not afraid. Because if you're a Bible reader and you've read Bible prophecy, you know that the prophecy in the Bible is bearing itself out. It shouldn't be any great surprise to a Bible reader, to a Bible scholar, or to even a saved person exactly what we're facing today. There will be people that will deny God. There will be people that will turn away the opportunity to be saved. I do not want to be one of those persons. I do not want to stand, like I said earlier, at the judgment seat of God and try to give an excuse then why I didn't make things right, why I didn't get things right. Today is the day of salvation. My granddaddy preached that till the day he died. Today is the day of salvation. You know, the Lord is standing with his arms outstretched and beckoning. And again, this is a perfect story of how that he is doing that and wants us to do it as well. So if he was giving this story to the disciples, now what did he tell the disciples to do? He said to go into Judea and the outermost parts, spreading the gospel, you know, telling the folks the crucifixion story, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that you can be born again. So if he was telling them to do that, and what a great importance, one of his last messages that he could have preached was the one that there's still room. There's still room today. And I believe there's room today too. In fact, I know that there's plenty of room. You know, as I mentioned, we can probably think of some people maybe that have turned down the invitation, but have you tried to compel them lately? Have you tried to really, really stress to them that, you know, time is running out. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. We hear testimonies. We see it on prayer requests where young folks are even at the point of death. Some young people are dying at an alarming rate. It's already been talked about, the affliction and the sickness, but also there's a tremendous amount of people leaving this earth. And, then you think about it, you know, are they ready? Are they ready? Have I missed an opportunity? Have I not shared the gospel with them? Have I not at least given them one invitation? You know, it's one thing to keep asking them, but have you asked them once? You know, and you have to learn. And the thing that I tell folks, especially folks who said, well, I don't know how to witness to folks. I don't know what to say to folks. And I tell them, how was you affected? Who witnessed to you that got your attention? Something worked in somebody that invited you or that told you that you needed to be born again. Try to use that same approach. We've probably all been turned off by some folks that try to get us saved. Some folks try to cram it down your throat, and I found out that's not going to work. But if you can show them love like Christ did, because Christ is full of love, and he wants us to love one another as he has loved us. If you can compel them in that way, now compel them doesn't mean get them in a headlock and bring them to church. That's not going to work. But if you can make it so tantalizing and so good and tell them, you know, it's the best feeling there is, and there's nothing like being able to lay your head down at night and know that if you don't see the dawning of another day, that you're going home to be with the Lord. And a lot of folks can't make that statement today, so there's plenty of room. Understand, there's always going to be room for at least one more. So let's go out into the highways and the hedges, amen, and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. Love y'all so much. Y'all are so precious. Somebody was talking about, I think it was Sister Jessica, talking about having a day where she just wished the Lord had come and take her home. It reminded me of the preacher standing in the pulpit, and he was preaching about heaven, and he asked the congregation, said, how many want to go to heaven? And everybody raised their hand, except one little fella. He's sitting over here, and he said, son, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, oh, yes, sir, when I die, but I thought you was getting up a busload now. So, yeah, everybody wants to go to heaven when they die. You know, what's the story? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But you know what? There's something comforting, really comforting, to know that if we don't see enough, and there's no promise, folks. We don't have the promise. You know, hopefully we'll see one another again, but we don't have that promise. We don't have that promise at all. But the key is to be ready, and not only to be ready, but what a great thing to know that you have been responsible for taking somebody else, for spreading the gospel to somebody else and having them accept Jesus Christ. God bless you. Would you stand? Not going to keep you very long tonight. I know that I appreciate y'all coming out on a Wednesday night, but we do want to give you an opportunity. If you need prayer tonight, would you gather around the altar? We'll pray with you. If you have a special need or anything, give you this opportunity. If not, then certainly remember the prayer list that we have, and it's many, many people, and it seems to be growing daily. So let's keep them in our prayers and our thoughts. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Brother Jim, if you would come tonight, dismiss us with a word of prayer. Thank you again for being here.